words of that song. It says, seek out my dry places. Amen. That's what we want. Amen. We're going to let our musicians be seated if you like to. You know, there's a lot of times we don't think that you have a problem until it's addressed by the Word. Then you realize, I got a problem.
Amen. Amen.
And I want that to be addressed on this side, not on that side.
Amen.
Amen. It's a lot of people of the world today, they think all of a sudden they're going to majestically be a good, clean person at rapture time. Well, that happens on this side, you know, the cleansing. And that the blood is still here. And I'm so thankful for that. Want us to go ahead and turn into our Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to go verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to loose, a time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Let's go to one more scripture. Book of James. And read verse chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. James 14, 13 and 14. I don't think I wrote that down, but we did. I just realized that. Sorry about that. James 4, 13, 14. I'll go ahead and read it. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get again. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, we've already spoken enough words that would save the whole world if they would just take it, Lord, and believe it. Lord God, I ask you that you'll touch our hearts today, Lord. Help us to redeem the time that you've given us here on earth, Lord. We love you. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on an interesting thought the Lord has given me. I hope I can get it across to you the way he gave it to me. It's time's perspective.
Amen.
And just the definition of perspective, it's the art of drawing solid objects on a two-dimensional surface so as to give the right impression of their height, width, depth, and position in relation to each other when viewed from a particular point. Another definition which I really want to point to is the part I want to look at is the particular attitude towards or way of regarding something, a point of view. Time has a way of changing and proving one's perspective. Success or defeats, those are manifested over time. You know, I remember back in school, I was real excited because I was on top of the spelling bee, and I was a success until the following Friday. And the success was gone. I was no longer the king of the spelling bee. Successes are time-tested. It shows those things. And short battles usually carry short victories.
Right.
We live in the world today where sports are giving out trophies. They'll give Super Bowl rings out for the kiddos, especially for the T-ball. When I first saw that, I thought, you know, that's pretty neat. Give out because I thought it was all these games, the champions would play against champions and champions, and finally there was this big game, and all of a sudden they got the ring. Well, come to find out, they give them out for just about every game that you could play. So if you won this game, you got this big ring. So what happens is all these kids all have big rings. And the ones that are really striving and doing everything they can do to win the game and doing the sacrifice, they've got the exact same ring.
Right.
There's no comparison. And what they do is, and they give a trophy for everybody. I'm just not a big fan of that. I don't want to see any kid cry and go home, but sometimes we need to.
Right.
Right.
Say amen. Sometimes my greatest victories in learning in life was when I fell flat, smooth on my face, and I failed.
Right.
And I can look back at that years ago, and I say, yep, I won't do that again. Now, I know from time's perspective is what I'm talking about. In time's perspective, I can look back at couples, and I see what they're saying about things that they've done with their finances or things that they've done just in life and get entangled up, and I can familiarize from my perspective. I can say, I know, I've been there. I've made those mistakes.
Right.
I remember when I was a little boy, I'd ride on a school bus, and we'd be going, and they had a country song that would play, and I think that they pull their inspiration off of good things, and they've got a good point, but it's a little perverted, a little twisted.
Right.
But I remember riding on a school bus, there was a song that they would sing, and Lord forgive me, I'm not trying to boast this song, it's to try to get the point across. It was a song, Time Marches On, was the name of the song. And I remember I was a young boy, and I heard this song, and I thought, boy, that's right. A lot of that is true in what he's saying. Time marches on. Things keep changing. What I mean is, you can have things will seem so perfectly normal today, and a week from now, it could be totally different. For me, at that point, it became true. I remember I had a friend that I would go to. The name was Nathan Police. He and I were just the best friends at that time. We were young. He was heavy set, had braces. And the way we first met, we got into a fight. Well, I won, but he didn't get too mad about it. We were still friends. From that day forth, we were best friends. And he never tried that ever again. We were really good friends. Well, I went to Nate's house, and I thought this is the model home. This is what life is supposed to be. Because my house, we didn't have necessarily running water. We definitely didn't have hot water. We were lucky if we had water. You know, and the walls, you could kind of see through some of the walls. And the floors, we had carpet to cover places on the floor, the holes in the floor. I remember from my house, I thought, I am poor, and this man is rich, this boy. And I go there, and they had this huge house, nice cars, nice truck. A big swimming pool above ground. My pool was a creek. Mm-hmm. And I was rich and didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I would go to Nathan's house, and I would look at his folks, and I seen this big house. I seen all these things. And my perspective as a child, I looked at that, and I thought to myself, these people are rich. These people have got everything a man could possibly want. And within not even a year, total split up without the Lord. Woman goes this way, man goes this way, lose the house, lose everything, and split home. My perspective of a rich house was actually very poor. Because, you know, the one thing makes us rich is that's the Lord. I think we all know that. It's having the Lord. But what I'm talking about is a change of perspective. My perspective at that point, from that time on, was completely different. Anytime I seen someone with money, I was actually very scared of money after that point because I've seen what money can do. The scripture talks about the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Not money, the love of the money. And it talks about how the love of the money will get you in all kinds of entanglement, and you're bound by all these things. You'll get yourself into bondages chasing after money. And I'm talking about the perspective, changing perspectives. And people have also, through the Facebook and social media, and what I want to talk about here is people trying to build something up for themselves. Social media has gotten to a point to where they could literally be watching somebody be abused or beaten, even as far as raped. And rather than reaching out and trying to help the person, they're too involved in wanting everybody to understand their perspective on this thing. They'll have videos where a woman will be being beat, and a man will stand there with his phone, and he'll video and he'll say, I want you to see this. This is what's happening right now. This woman is being beat. This is so wrong. This is wrong. And he will illustrate to everything about why this is wrong rather than putting the phone down and helping the person.
That's right.
There'll be somebody that's drowning in a lake over there. It happened not too long ago. And they were videoing, watching the person drown, and they were talking about their perspective of how bad this really is, rather than helping the person. Because they wanted their perspective to go out, rather than doing something involvement. They've come to the point where it's what it is. People want their perspective to go out across everybody, rather than, what I'm trying to say is, they want people to see, look at that man, he is so right. That is so wrong for that woman to be beat like that.
But instead of him helping the woman, he wants people to see, look what I did. Look what I did. I did my perspective. I did these things. We live in a world where people want their perspective to go out. It's unlimited on the social media side or the internet. People have their own perspective they want to put forth. If you look at the news, you can't even, I don't even know which one to point you to. I don't think there is one to get the right perspective. You can watch the exact same situation take place and have three different news channels that'll see that and see the exact same thing, and you'll get three completely different stories. Perspectives. We live in a world where people have come to a point where they want recognition for everything that they do. It's so sad today because the devil knows how to work with your emotions. And a lot of times, especially in a church service, people want emotions. They want to feel the feelings. Because if you don't feel the emotions, that service was dead. But a lot of people have a lot of emotions, but there ain't 1 ounce of word in the whole service.
Right.
That's right. Because, everybody knows this. I'm not about telling you anything you don't know. Emotions pass.
Right.
Feelings pass.
Right.
But the word is whenever no feelings, no emotions, you're praying and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere through it, it's the word that gets you through at that time.
Right.
It's not going to be the emotions. And we live in a world today where it says, you look at a bum on the street. And this man can be walking through and he is down on his luck. And perhaps this man was like Brother Brenham said, the man was once a successful man. And he was a banker of a certain bank. And all of a sudden, he got a Dear John letter. And from that day forth, he became a bum. From that day forth, he lost his fight. From that day forth, that inspiration, that fire in his belly to get up and go to work, that fire in his belly to become a better person, that fire in his belly to be ambitious. That's what the devil is working really hard to do, is take away that fire out of the belly of the Christian. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
To where on a daily walk where you have a fire in your belly, I want to get closer to God today. I got a fire in my belly. I want more of the word today. But this man become a bum. And what happens today, it happens every day. I'm showing you a perspective of what's happened today. A man can be a bum on the street, absolutely down on his luck, and he's trying to hold on to the last limb of hope he can, and somebody on YouTube will video himself, he'll say, all right, I just got it on my heart. I'm just feeling the love today. I'm going to go and help this poor soul. This poor, poor soul. I'm going to go help him out. I'm going to give him some money. I'm going to change everything. And when he does that, he'll find the worst one he could possibly find. And he'll video the person, and he'll video himself, and he'll play the soft music. So he goes to this poor man that's broken at the worst time of his entire life. And he's going to give him this money. And he'll video this man at this point, at his weakest moment, when this man is at his, when he needs someone to put their arms around him and lift him up. They're caught up in the moment. They want people to see, look how good I am. This is what I'm doing for this man. Look how great I am. And he'll give him that money, and they'll have the camera right in his face. And the man's starting to break down and cry, and he's just tore up on the inside. That's the world we live in. People are so caught up in wanting themselves, their perspective, someone to look at them and say, look what I've done. I've done such a great work. I'm so good. I helped this person during their need. And the man, I guarantee you, the man after the service, after the leaves, you'll never talk to the man ever again. What I'm talking about is the devil will try so hard in this hour to where he wants you to he'll help people, but you want everybody to see what you do. Is that right?
Right.
We live in a world where they'll help you. Oh, yeah, they'll help you, but they'll want every news channel to look at them. But you know what? We're called to serve one another.
Right.
You know, Jesus talked about how you get down on your knees and you wash each other's feet. And whenever you're washing your feet, you're not saying, hey, look at this. I'm washing this people's feet. Look at this. Not advertisement. You're not going to a bum on the street and saying, watch, guys, I'm doing it. It is a something on the inside where you have a desire to serve your brothers and sisters. Say amen.
Amen.
It's whenever we are called to live for one another. Amen. Brother Graham said, talk about how that man wants to be the big man. He said, you want to be the big man? Make the other man feel like the big man.
Amen.
There's not a greater reward. Listen to me, young people. There's not a greater reward than you can have when you can make somebody else feel like the big person.
Right.
when you can make somebody else feel like, you know what, they leave and they say, boy, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Amen.
Yes.
It's where you're living for one another. The best way to serve someone is to do it when no one's looking and make no bones about it. We live in a day when people will see someone drowning, beaten, and all these things, and rather than helping the person, they'll want to broadcast it. The one thing I've learned in this life is you'll never know what you'll do in a situation until you've gone through it. How many is guilty of that?
Amen.
I've been in a situation where I will watch somebody, I will see somebody, and especially when I was younger, I was so full of zeal and didn't have an ounce of knowledge. And a zeal for the Lord. And I would see certain things happen in the church or see families go through a certain situation, go through a certain temptation. And I would, in myself, I would think to myself, I would handle that completely different. If that happened to me, this is what I would do. Hello. If I was in that situation, my kids would never do that. I'm here to tell you something. You don't know what you'll do until you get put in that situation.
Right.
Amen. Whenever you see these things, I remember looking at us like, if they were in the Word, that would never happen. I'm here to tell you, we got an adversary, the devil. And you can try to walk and guard as much as you want to. We got an adversary, the devil. Now, I realize the devil can't do nothing unless God allows it. But I'm here to tell you, don't be so quick to judge. Because we don't know. You might find yourself in that exact situation, and then you might say, you know what, I was wrong. I don't want to have to be put in that situation.
Amen.
I want to judge myself now and say, Lord, I don't know what I would do in this situation. I'm going to pray for him.
Amen.
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 Especially with young people and teenagers. Oh, when my kids were little, I had it figured out. I had it down. I mean, if you needed me to write you a book, just come see me. I'd write the book. I'm here to tell you, I didn't know what I was talking about. And no child's the same. I'm here to tell you. People say, oh, yes, they're... No, they're not. I can remember, and I'm going to expose my children a little bit. They like it when I do that. Elijah, he was one, you would have to beat him. And then I remember, I would give him the option. I'd say, son, you either want the whipping, or you want to go sit in the bed. He said, I want the whipping. And the kids, they're different. They're just different. And I remember he'd get in trouble, and Vicky would say, Elijah, go to the bed and do not get up. He said, can I just take the whooping? No, no, no. You can't take the whooping. They're totally different. And watching the way they grow up, they handle different. If it's going a certain way and you're trying to correct him a certain way or guide him in a certain way, there's a different way. You cannot treat them the same. It will not work. Hannah, I can look at her. And she just started bawling. Like, I haven't even touched you yet. From a small age. Malachi? Well, that's a completely different one. That's just a completely one. He would have this problem when he'd act up and you look at you and say, Malachi, and he would always do this one look, and everybody will know what I'm talking about. As soon as he does that, what do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? You have to handle them different because it's hard to punish somebody when you're laughing. But it's something I've learned in perspectives. By growing up and raising my children, it's completely different. Elijah was the toughest one, I will tell you. When we went to Silver Dollar City here just recently, well, the last time we went, we were walking through there and they had this wood carving spot. And they had a wooden spoon up there. And Elijah walked up there and he picked it up and he said, I remember this. And this lady, this older lady up there, was like, oh boy, they're going to get us for child abuse. And this older lady, she said, that's good. It probably worked too, didn't it? Oh yeah. My wife always carried a wooden spoon in her purse. And that's what we did. I hope this don't... My apartment's writing me down now on the internet. But I remember we were at work and somebody talked about my children. They said them come up. They said, they're so well behaved. How did you do that? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. My wife kept a wooden spoon in her purse. And that woman started, like, her face got red and she said,
she pulled out a wooden spoon out of her purse. She said, well, I think I'm doing that now, so maybe this will work. I said, sister, I can testify. It does work.
But it's perspective. And raising your children, it's a perspective. You can't do a cookie sheet across the board and say, you have to do it this way, because it might not work that way. Every child's different, and I'm going to tell you something. Nobody's going to know them kids better than their parents.
Right.
Their parents will know best. Their parents know. Their parents understand that child more than anybody will. My dad will look at them, things that he used to slap me down to the floor for. My kids will do this. Oh, that's okay. It ain't going to hurt anything. That's a grandpa's love. I'll tell you what, I got a different kind of love when I was growing up with him. But we're talking about perspectives. And, you know, look at perspectives from a child. You know, I can look at a dog, and I've never been really afraid of dogs myself, because I've usually been taller than they are. And I think height has a big thing to do with that. But, you know, you take that child that's eyeball to eyeball with that dog, and it's a completely different perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm showing you, is we can look at somebody else's trial that they're going through, see what they're struggling through, and we can say, why are they struggling with that? There's nothing to that. But if you get down and you get eyeball to eyeball with that dog of what they're going through, you can enter into their burdens. And then you'll understand, wow, that's really, really tough. That's really tough they're going through. We need to enter into one another's burdens. Because
right.
A lot of times we'll look at it, we'll think, well, that's not a real big trial. That's nothing real big. But a lot of times you're just seeing the peripheral stuff. You don't see the stuff behind that they're going through. We need to live for one another. I'm telling you, I can't get that across clear enough or loud enough. We need to live for one another. Whenever, because there's a lot of times we'll have one around us that they are struggling, they're like on their last ounce of hope, and we don't even know. And if I knew this brother was going through something, and if I knew it, I'd be there, Johnny on the spot, ready to help. But a lot of times we'll have no idea that someone's going through something. We need to live one for another. We need to, our perspective needs to be never, ever be a point to where above our brother or sister. There should always be a point to where I'm going to live for my brother. If when we hear our brother or our sister is going through something, it's a time to pray. Mm-hmm. If we hear they're going through something, or it's a mourning time, it's a time to mourn. Mm-hmm. I found for myself, and I've never spoke about this before, I found for myself one of my greatest ways to overcome in mourning is when my brother or sister mourns with me for a season. But then there's a time to quit. There is a time to mourn. But then there's a time to be happy again. Mm-hmm. There is a time to plant. But there's a time to pluck. There's a time for these things. You know, Paul said, be angry, but sin not. Mm-hmm. How many of you have gotten angry? Mm-hmm. You liars! How about he's been angry? Absolutely. Every one of us have. But you know what? The difference is, what did you do when you do that? When you go through that mistake, when you do that. Because there's sometimes you get mad and there ain't a thing you can do about the situation. I'll just give you an example. Sold a vehicle to a customer. To my knowledge, perfectly sound. It's a great vehicle. I've looked it through. I drove it. It did just fine. Did the paperwork. Went through the finance. Went through the detail shop. They get halfway down the road and all of a sudden it starts pumping and all kinds of stuff. And I'm telling you, I just drove this vehicle. It didn't do that. And now it looks, she's driving the vehicle and it's clunking. It says, hey, this thing's clunking. Like, man, it did not do that well, y'all. Nothing you can do about it. But, you know, you just overcome. And we fix the car and she's happy and I'm happy and everything's good. What I'm saying is, things will happen in your life and there's a thing you can do about it. What do? Somebody pulls out in front of you and you're rearing the back of them. What do? You just have to smile and be angry, but don't sin. Sin not. Amen.
Amen.
I'll get to where I'm going, I promise. Brother Brown says this. He says, so today we've come to a place till everything that we speak of has got any sale or value, it's a super. We got the supermarket. We got the little corner store run out of the business. I'm sorry. It will run the little corner store out of business.
The supermarket's has got the super duper everything. It's got, you buy the stamps, you pay a nickel a piece for it, trading stamps. Don't think you're giving, they're giving them to you, because they're not. You pay for them dearly. But it's the eyes of the public has to catch it. Television, newspapers. Recently, I was listening at a radio broadcast. They said, don't be old-fashioned. Use the new detergents. No wash, no wipe. Dip the water, a dish through it. It's perfectly clean, and all you have to do is just, well, just dip it in the water and throw it up in the rack. It's all right. Don't be old-fashioned. That commercial went off, and another one come on. And it said, don't burn your pretty hands with these new detergents. Use a certain detergent, some kind of Oxydol. Said, because that, look how grandmother's hands look. Look how mother's hands look. They use soap suds, not burn them. Your hands up with this new detergent they got, the Colgate Polymo, I don't know how you say that. But out from both articles, made just here in Jeffersonville. See, the people likes to be fooled. The devil's got them in that condition so that when something real comes along, they still think they're fooled. They that wait upon the Lord, that know God, shall do his exploits. But we're in a super sale, super, super everything, super cars, super jets, super speed, everything super, super race. Oh, everyone wants to be the super race. Hitler just told the Germans they were super people. Found out they wasn't. Super everything. Now, all of it mounts up to sense if you will just stop and study, because it's some creature that God created. They're in it, that super idea. It has to be super. All these things mean one thing. It's a sign. It's a super sign coming to a super darkness. Everyone's perspective on all these things, and you've got television, you've got ads of changing your perspective of saying this is the new way to clean. You take your disc, you dip it inside there, and it's perfectly clean. That don't work. They want super duper to where you don't put no effort into it. They got vacuum cleaners now. In perspective of keeping a house clean, a vacuum cleaner, you push power, it's a robot, it will clean your whole house for you. They've got super duper detergents on your teeth with a wipe in your teeth. They've got super everything to where it comes to, and these are the natural. They've got deodorants that you can put on. 24 hours or 72 hours, super duper. They want it to the point where you have to put no effort for it. But let's talk about the spiritual side. They're trying to come up with a super church. They're trying to come up with a super religion to where you no longer have to plead for the Holy Ghost anymore. They're talking about a super duper church or religion to where you no longer have to seek God on a daily basis anymore, because you just joined the church. As long as you go to church, as long as you take on the form, you're okay. You know, children of Israel had victory in God because they come, God's provided way. He had a prophet. God would speak to them through the prophet. And when they listened to that and they did obedience, they went and took the land. Is that right? But see, what happened was they got to looking at the other nations, looking at their perspective and say, you know what? I don't want to be like this anymore. Let's just take a king just like they are. And let's let them fight our battles. We have to fight our own battles sometimes. But a lot of times we want other people to fight our battles. Is that right?
Amen.
You go through a little bit of trial, and you say, well, I'm going to call them right now. That way they'll do the praying. No, sometimes we got to do the praying. You ever seen a chick try to get out of the egg? You put him in there, and he'll peck, and he'll peck, and he'll peck. If you try to help him, he'll die. Is that right? How many knows that that's true?
Amen.
If you help him, he'll die. He has to do that himself. He has to fight through that. He has to take what God gave him, a God-given thing on top of his beak, and he'll sit there and he'll peck that shell over and over and over again, because he is overcoming
right.
to live. And he'll sit there, and even though you would want to help him, you feel sorry for him, you want to look down and say, this poor guy's struggling. You have to let him struggle. Parenting is the same way. And the church is the same way. Sometimes you want some, why are they not coming and picking me up and helping me? Because sometimes you have to struggle. Because if someone babies you the whole time, you'll never survive.
That's right.
You've got to overcome. You've got to have something inside you where says, you know what, I'm not quitting.
I'm getting up. I'm going to try this again. And that's what we have to be. We have to have something inside us, a fight, a fire in our belly that says, I'm not quitting. We've got to get that mentality out of our head. I'm quitting. That's not an option. Amen?
Right.
Marriage, that's why the divorce is one of the biggest things today. Over like 90% of people will end up in divorce because they have quitting in their mind. It should not even be in your mind.
Right.
Whenever you do it, it's a commitment, 100%. Whenever you join this army of the Lord, I'm here to tell you, join it. You're born into it. When you're born into this army of the Lord, there is no quitting. Is that right?
Right.
You just overcome. You have to keep pressing on. Now, trust me, we will bear you one on the verge. We'll pray for one another. But don't get discouraged if you feel like you're all alone. Because you will have times when you feel like you're all alone. You feel like sometimes people don't care. You'll feel that way. It's a lie of the devil, but you'll feel that way.
Right.
Amen. I was talking about perspective. I'm talking about children that go through things. And when I was saying in the beginning of the service, how I can look back and say, you know what? I know what they're talking about. Some people know what I'm talking about. How many knows what I'm talking about this morning? You go through struggles and you'll wonder, why in the world am I not getting any progress? God will allow you to struggle sometimes. God will allow you. You say, Brother Daniel, he don't do that. Oh, he don't? What about Job? Job was a man that was a righteous man. He was doing everything right, but everything in the world started going wrong in his life. Mm-hmm. He was a man that was doing get up and do burnt offerings every morning. How many of you got up this morning and did a burnt offering? Hello. This was a legit deal, man. This ain't a story. This happened. This man got up and did a burnt offering every morning for his children. This was a man that was diligent about his business. This was a man that was honest. This was a man that did everything he knew to do right. And this was a man that lost everything. This is a man that's going through time where he felt like, I'm praying and God ain't answering. This is a man that was sitting on the ash heap. Hello? Picking the bulls off of his flesh. How many of you picked bulls off your flesh this morning? We're not doing too bad then, are we? I've never done that. I hope I never do. Lord, I'm saying that's not. Make it clear. I don't want to do that. I'll judge myself now and say, Lord, I am not above my brother. A lot of times, I've seen the rug slip underneath people before. Many times. Well, they get arrogant. And when they get arrogant, that rug will get slipped up from underneath them.
Right.
That's right. That's why we need to stay humble. Young people, listen to me. Stay humble. You got where you are because of the grace of God. That's right. You get out of that grace of God, you'll find out how weak you are. Is that true? We as a church, stay humble. When we stay humble and keep our perspective right of saying, Lord, we got where we are by the grace of God, and that's none other. Not by my ability, not by my flesh, by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Keeping our perspective, time's perspective, is what we're talking about. And we're almost finished. Won't be much longer. The church has come to a point to where they feel like they've gotten so super that you don't really have to fight to be clean anymore. There's no need to come to an altar anymore. I get what Brother Brown was saying is that what he said, you know, come on, Johnny. Your mama's been praying for you. Come on, Johnny. We've been seeking you. We've been seeking for you. Come on, Johnny. Come to the altar. I get that. But I'm here to tell you, we need more altars in the house. That's right. We need that altar to where God deals with your heart and He convicts your heart and you get down on your knees and you say, God, forgive me. Let me try to get this as clear as I possibly can. The devil will try to use the message against you. That's right. He'll use why would he not? The devil will use the message to you and he'll tell you, well, you've come to a point where you don't really have to do those things anymore. You've arrived. A lot of people think they've arrived and they hadn't arrived. And you've got to get there. Is that right?
Right.
He'll use the message against you to make you feel like you've come to a point where I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't have to seek those things anymore. Two things that devil will fight you for. He'll fight one person to make you think you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you do. He'll make you think you do have the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you don't. That's right.
That's exactly right.
And the best thing he can do is just rock you to sleep. To where you say, I've got the Holy Ghost. How can I know I've got the Holy Ghost? What's this inside here feeding on? Brother Brown says, let me go in there and let me see what you're feeding on. I'll tell you where you got the Holy Ghost. If you've got something inside here that's hungry for the Word of God, That's the Holy Ghost hungering for that.
Hungering for the Word.
For this hour. Listen, young people, you can those youth camps are great. But you can't go 1 week out of the year and worship God and seek God with all your heart and then expect that to sustain you through the rest of the year. It won't work.
Right. That's a good shot in the arm. But that's it. That's all it is. It's a shot in the arm. You got to keep struggling. You got to keep struggling. You got to keep struggling. This life is a struggle. If anyone ever tells you that this life is not a struggle after you become a Christian, they're lying. It's a battle. You're on a battlefield. But you know, it's something. You got to have something inside you where your perspective has got to be, I need God on a daily basis. I am not strong enough to do this on my own. I am not strong enough. You know, the spirit of this age will say you're blind, you're naked, you're wretched, and you don't even know it. You can't help somebody who don't think they need help. I won't give the man's name, but there was a man that is looking at his credit score and what he was doing with his credit. And I told him, I said, this is what you need to do. Give him some advice from a brother. I said, this is what you need to do. He said, I've got excellent credit. No, you don't. I don't have any means. No, you don't. And he says, no, how about this? No. And you can try to advise and be as humble as you possibly can, but if they think they're okay, there ain't a thing you can do for them.
That's right.
Could you imagine the man that I was talking about that's drowning out in the water? He's drowning. Could you imagine that man being so out of his head that I'm trying to help the man, and he says, I'm okay. I got this. I'm fine. Total insanity. The insanity of today is people think they're okay when they're not. Your life will speak of what that is. Is that right? Let me show you something. Young people, you pay attention to this. Whenever they did the token, when they did that, God would take the lamb that's without blemish, and he'd strike that blood on the doorpost. And when they struck that blood on the doorpost, that wasn't enough. They needed God to recognize that token. They needed God to see that. Because what good would it have to do to have it there and God don't even recognize it? Is that right? When you look at the trailers, whenever they would fill, Brother Brown talked about what is the Holy Ghost and what's the Holy Ghost for. Brother Brown talked about how that they would fill this trailer up. They'd have jars inside there, and they would have an inspector that would come through, and they would have to make sure everything was tight, everything was secure. Because if it wasn't, if they hit something, they would rattle and it would bust, and then it'd be on that inspector. That inspector would go through that trailer and make sure everything was perfectly right. And when it was perfectly right, then he would put the seal on it. But the inspector had to recognize that it was okay. He had to recognize it. See, what I'm saying is, God has got to recognize our experience. Not us. God's got to look at it. I can say, I'm humble, God. But what's God saying about it? Because when God recognizes it, that's when God puts the seal on it. Is that right? First of Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Lord God, for you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Yeah, but you got to get sealed. Once you're sealed, you are sealed to the day of redemption, but you got to get sealed.
Right.
That's right. And the way you know you're sealed is you have something inside you wanting to get in the Word. And I'm telling you, if you're going day after day and week after week and you're not having that hunger to get in the Word, I'm telling you, something's wrong.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. I'm saying as your brother, if there should be something on the inside of you that's calling you to seek God. There should be something inside of you saying, God, I'm sick of this world. God, something inside of you saying, God, I need revelation. There should be a deep call to the deep. I'm going to tell you, we need to have that. If you don't have that, you need to make some changes. That's right. Because this world will give you all kinds of things to feed that hunger. But it's of the world. And he'll give you something where you say, you've got that call to seek out God. He'll give you that call to reach out to God. But he'll give you all kinds of temptations and things. It's not necessarily bad things, but it's time wasters. That's right. God will get up in the middle of the night. I'll tell you, some of the greatest times God ever calls me in the middle of the night, the Lord will knock something on my heart. And I say, oh, that's going to be good. And I'll start to get up, and the little devil says, boy, you need to lay down just a little longer. Relax just a little bit longer. Sleep just a little longer. Or you could be going through this life, and you could be going on, driving down the truck, wherever you're going, and inspiration will come to you to pray and to seek God. The devil will give you all kinds of things you need to do. You need to water the garden. Do you have to water the garden? Yeah, it needs to be done. But should it take over prayer? No.
You need to do the laundry. You're doing the laundry, and the Lord will inspire you to pray for somebody. Stop right then and pray. I'm telling you, the more instant we can get in that, changing our perspective, the more instant we can get when God lays it on your heart to pray, pray right then. Pray right then. Seek God. I'm telling you, sometimes you don't know what's going to take place. Sometimes the Lord will give you an inspiration to pray for somebody. What if that's the rapture one of these mornings? What if that inspiration that you're feeling knocking on you right then and you're overriding this, well, I'll do it later. What if that's the rapture? There ain't no later at that point.
Right.
We need to be diligent. Change our perspective, saying, Lord, help me to value you. Help me to value my relationship with you. Help me to value my relationship with my brothers and my sisters.
Yeah.
Let's bear each other's burdens. Let's go ahead and all stand. I don't mean to try to keep you. I know I'm plowing on some things this morning that people don't like to talk about, people don't like to hear about. But one of the worst things that can ever happen is when someone feels like they're okay when they're not. It's when someone has a desire inside them. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I went to a doctor several years ago. And I went to go talk to this doctor because I had something going on inside my stomach right down here. And I was concerned about it. But when I got there to the doctor, I was too afraid and ashamed to talk about it. And so I didn't say anything about it. And I just said there was a couple other things. I left and never got addressed. I come back about 2 years later, it's getting worse. And I go back again. The doctor is right there, prepared with the instruments to help me. But because I didn't want to speak up, because I didn't want to say, hey, I'm going through this, I carried that problem for a long time. But all the resources were right there. All I had to do is say, I've got a problem, and it's right here. This is my problem. I've got this thing, and I need help. I can't do it on my own. That's why I'm at the doctor's office. Tell you, the doctor is in the house this morning. The doctor is here, but he can only help you if you'll let him. He can only help you if you'll say, I'm going through this. You have to go and say, I don't care what they think about this. I don't care about what those things think. I've got this problem, and I need help. That's right. But sometimes we let our own pride hold us back whenever we can have that change of hope. Amen. I want to ask every head to be bowed, if you don't mind. Just bow your head before the Lord this morning. I ask you, as your brother, you reflect upon your experience with God. You reflect on the things you're going through, because you know whether the Lord's done with your heart or not. I can't do it. God can. If there's anybody here this morning saying, you know what, Brother Daniel, I know what you're talking about. I'm going through it right now. Every head bowed. I ask you to lift up your hand before the Lord. And the Lord sees your hand. Every head bowed. Keep your head bowed. I'm asking you as your brother. It's a pardon that's given to you this morning. That is simply, I'm telling you, it's absolutely free. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what those things are. You lay it at the altar this morning. You say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. And you go before God, and honestly before God. And you say, God, I have not been hungering for the word like I should be. God, I have not been having a desire to pray like I should be, but God, I want to. If you have that desire, God will give you the desire in your heart this morning. You're welcome to come front. You don't have to. You can accept the Lord right where you're at. But I'm going to pray. And if anyone needs our prayer, Brother Tony and I will be glad to pray with you. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord God, I've done the best of my ability, to talk about the perspectives, God. Lord, and how that we've got to not let the time of perspective of this world impact us, Lord, because we have got to keep our perspective right. God, I ask you, Father, that you go to these hands that have gone up across this building, Lord. Let them not look for some kind of hot oil or those things, Lord. We know you can do those things if you want to, but Lord, those things fall away. But Lord, I'm asking you by faith in the word this morning. We say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to worship you, Lord. Lord God, I'm here to lay it at your feet this morning. I'm asking you, Jesus, walk the aisles even now, Lord. God, I ask you, knock on every heart even now, Lord. Give them a fresh opportunity for a fresh revival, oh God. Oh God, I'm asking you'll touch the young mothers in this building, the young fathers, Lord, the young teenagers, oh God. Lord, the wives, the husbands, oh God. Lord, touch us on our own individual level, oh God. Help us, Father, to reach out and claim the blood this morning. Father, it's freely given to us. We accept it, Father. I ask you, Jesus, that you'll break every chain this morning. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I ask you for a revival in their hearts, oh God. Stir that faith in their hearts in your word, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord, to use the word what's been given to us for. Lord, and stop letting the devil use it against us, oh God. Oh God, what a terrible thing it would be to see someone getting defeated by their own sword. Lord, help us take the sword of this word, Lord, and start conquering with it. Drain it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If anybody wants to come for prayer, you're certainly welcome to. I'd be glad to pray with you. Lord, to push these things out of the way, Lord, the time wasters, oh God. Lord, set that time alone for you and you alone, oh God, because I know you will meet him, Lord. Oh God, I'm asking you for revival in his heart, revival in his relationship with you, Lord. Help him, Lord, to be led by your spirit, Lord. Help him to learn to walk in your spirit, Jesus, to be sensitive to your spirit, to know your leading, oh God. Lord, as the word says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, the Lord God. Teach him to not grieve it, Lord. Help him to be sensitive to it. Lord, to know how to walk in the word, Lord. Because that's where you'll meet your believer this morning, is in the blood, in the word, oh God. Help him in Jesus' name.
Amen. say amen. You know, I was talking to Sister Mary this morning, and I said, you know, the world has come up with this phrase they've had for a while, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And the problem is, you know, that sounds really good. It does. It sounds great. Satan's always got a counterfeit of, but a lookalike, but yet it's a counterfeit. And that's true, what would Jesus do? But what they're trying to do is do what Jesus would do without Jesus living on the inside. And that's really all it boils down to. We cannot live the life of Christ without him being on the inside.
That's right.
That's why it's so important to be in fellowship with him each day. It's kind of like maybe a water bucket, and you fill it up, and it's got a little bit of a hole where it drains out. And you fill that every day by reading your Bible, by praying, by being in fellowship with the very word of deliverance for the hour, puts that word of deliverance in your bucket. And then as you live each day, you're draining from that. That's what empowers you to go forth and live the life of Christ, is because you are in fellowship with him. Not the historical Christ, because the Baptist have, or Methodist or whoever, they have historical Christ, but we have to be in fellowship with the living word for the day. And by being in fellowship with him daily, that fills you up with the ability to live that life that you're in fellowship with. But if you're not in fellowship with him, you know, and so it's like everybody's got their own phone. Well, you know what? After using your phone for a little while, you start looking for a charger. Mm-hmm. Because you know if you don't charge that, you're not going to have the benefits of what you can do with the phone. And that's the way it is. Our Christian walk is like that. So they want to do what Jesus would do, but the only way you can do what Jesus would do is to stay in fellowship with him. You know, every one of us have our own strengths and our own weaknesses. And I have mentioned a few times, you know, that when a man and woman are married, you know, when two people, if they're perfectly identical, like the same things and everything, and they're just, well, then they both have the same weaknesses. And if they both have the same weaknesses, then Satan can exploit that. So, but when he gives you someone that's got different tastes and different things like that and different weaknesses, different strengths, now you've got a companion there who can help you in your low times and you can help them in their low times, right? So the best thing to do is have fellowship, have a relationship with somebody that's got strengths in areas that you have weakness.
That's right.
And the best person that you can have fellowship with is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's got all the strengths in the world. If you're going to go on a trip somewhere and you don't know where to go and you've never been there and you don't know all the turns, best thing is to have somebody that's been there and knows, right? We have GPSs now, but if you have somebody sitting there with you, they can direct you on every turn, and that's what life is all about. Every one of us is attacked every day. Satan trying to make you quit.
That's right.
Isn't that right? He tries to tell every one of you quit. But I want to tell you something. If this land was invaded by Muslims or enemy of some sort, you know you're looking at this person or this group of people, and you know they're your enemy. And you get up in the morning, you walk out by the enemy line, and they walk up to the line, and there's some food laying there that wasn't there the day before, and they're like, "Hey, there's you some food. Mm-hmm. Eat it. Eat that food." What are you going to do? Are you going to eat it?
No.
Why are you not going to eat it? Because you know that guy's your enemy.
Right.
And if he's trying to tell you, it's like, come here, come over here. You don't want to do that. Why? Because you know he is your enemy, and he's trying to get you to do something. Anything an enemy is talking to you and trying to say to you, you know it's to take you out. So why do we listen to the devil? When we have all these attacks every day that tells you to give up and tells you to do these things contrary to the word, you know who it is.
Right.
Right? Don't listen to him. Turn around and consult with the general. It can tell you everything that you need to know about it. So the best thing to do is keep that partner with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have his perspective. Amen. You know, that's the whole thing about eagles. Eagles get so high they can see the whole thing. They got eyesight, they can fly high enough. And God likens himself to eagles. Prophets are eagles. A prophetic message makes you an eagle when you feast upon it. So by being in fellowship with the Word, it automatically changes your perspective and puts you up in a place where you can see things that you wouldn't normally be able to see. And so we thank the Lord for it. I appreciate what the Lord put on Brother Daniel's heart this morning. Amen. I believe it would speak to every one of us. It did speak to each one of us. And if you take it and go with it, I think God will bless your life. Amen. So we appreciate that. We'll sing another song and then we'll close in prayer. But again, if anybody still needs prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you.
I'll stand for Jesus.
Yesterday, how the Lord had done that for me. So I wanted to remind everyone that Brother Ben Norrod will be with us the 29th and 30th of this month. That is a Saturday night at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10:30, the normal service time. I want to look forward to that. And I would also, hopefully, brothers, we would be able to have another work day between now and then so we can finish up a few things around the church. So we'll try to plan on that. Maybe while we're out this week, we can make plans on it. But so we love the Lord. I wanted to thank everyone for the drastic schedule change this morning. I'm sure the brothers appreciate that. It'll allow us to get down the road a little bit further. So we certainly want to thank you for getting up early and coming out early. I know it's hard on each one, but I believe that the Lord has met us here with service this morning. And so we certainly want to just pray, and I'm going to close in prayer just in a moment and ask the Lord to watch over each one of us and keep us. Amen. And so, I mean, love the Lord.
Amen.
Glad to be here. So let's just pray just for a moment as we get ready to go. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity we had to be in the house of God this morning. Lord, we never want to count it just as a common thing to be able to come to your house and to be able to fellowship around your word with believers of like precious faith. Lord, it is precious to us, and Lord, as we just sung, let the whole world go by, but we want you. We want to stand for you, stand for your word, and Lord, endeavor to surrender ourselves to you, that you could come in and live in us, Lord, that we would manifest your presence to this modern generation. We ask God that you would be with us now as we get ready to go on this trip. We're asking God that you would bless every aspect of it, that you would keep us safe. Most of all, Lord, keep us in you and in fellowship with you, fellowship with each other, but keep us safe on the roads. Keep the sisters safe as they go to visit Sister Pansy. And as each one's going to their place, we're asking God for your divine protection. Lord, the whole land may be falling apart with judgments and things happening, but we're asking God and know that you'll keep your people. And so we're committing this entire week and everyone into your hands, asking, Lord, that you'd bring us back home safely, back to the house of God. at the appointed time that we can fellowship once again around your word. And Lord, if your plan is calling for this dimension to change sometime between now and next week, then Lord, will us all meet on the other side in that place that you've prepared for us. We love you, Lord. Just asking God now that you be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.